910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and former Trump fixer Michael Cohen testifying in the hush money trial detailing payments he made to Stormy Daniels, he says, to keep Trump's alleged affair quiet ahead of the 2016 election. Cohen claiming he was reimbursed by Trump. ABC's John Santucci has more about Cohen's testimony and a phone call he said he had with Trump after federal authorities began investigating Cohen.
He said he had a conversation with Trump, and according to Michael Cohen, Donald Trump said to me, "Don't worry, I'm president of the United States. There's nothing here. Everything's going to be okay. Stay tough. You're going to be okay." Cohen testifies, "I wanted some reassurances that Mr. Trump had my back, especially as this dealt with issues that related to him."
President Biden today announcing that the U.S. will impose a 100% tariff on Chinese electric vehicles to protect U.S. automakers. Airlines joining in a lawsuit against the Transportation Department's new rules requiring airlines to disclose baggage and other hidden fees. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state senators vote today to override as many as 36 of Governor Evers' vetoes, including a bill to fight PFAS pollution. At the same time, Evers is countersuing the Republican-controlled legislature to release $50 million for a new school literacy program. Each side is accusing the other of obstruction. Liberal justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court sound inclined to reopen unstaffed absentee ballot drop boxes. During oral arguments yesterday, Rebecca Dallet said there's nothing in the law banning drop boxes.
"We operate in the law with a general concept when the legislature writes a statute that things are permitted unless they're forbidden."
The race for president in Wisconsin is expected to be close. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The names of three Northwest Wisconsin police officers who were killed in the line of duty were added to a memorial wall in Washington, D.C. Chetek Police Officer Emily Breidenbach, Cameron Police Officer Hunter Scheel, and Wisconsin Deputy Caitlin Lysing's names were unveiled on the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial on Monday morning. Officers Breidenbach and Scheel were killed during a traffic stop in Barron County last year, and Deputy Lysing was killed in a roadside shooting a few weeks later. The University of Wisconsin-Superior is holding a survey for what residents would like to see at the head of the lake's fairgrounds in the city. The survey will track what residents like about the fair now, what they'd like to see in the future, and any reasons why they may not want to go to the fairgrounds. The university is conducting the survey on behalf of Douglas County so officials can work to make the fairgrounds more inclusive and attract more residents. The survey will be available online throughout the summer. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Pirates steal a win from the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers battled but lost 8-6 to Pittsburgh last night. Jake Bowers hit his first career grand slam in the eighth to bring the crew back to within one, but the Pirates hit another home run in the ninth. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
"I love our team, huh? Yeah, I love them. You know, the way they battle. We did a lot of things not so good, but we had an opportunity to win the game."
Some bad news for the Brewers. Veteran Rhys Hoskins pulled a hamstring rounding the bases at first.
"Just felt a little grab in the hamstring, and kind of learned over the years, especially not to push soft tissue stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really have much else for you guys right now."
College football, the Badgers are going to play Alabama Saturday, September 14th, kickoff 11 a.m. It's the first time the Crimson Tide has played at Camp Randall since 1928.
"Your best players are your most competitive leaders. You got a chance. You got a hell of a lot better chance to finish."
That's Wisconsin Badgers head football coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny, bright, and beautiful today, with breezy winds out of the northeast, keeping our highs to the mid-60s. As we stay clear tonight, we crash cold with areas of frost possible as lows fall to the mid-30s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 57.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the host of Civic Media's The Maggie Dawn Show, Maggie Dawn, and Bigfoot tracker and enthusiast, Mike Desitel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Tuesday, May 14th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome in to a Tuesday. And of course, that means Tuesday tangents with our very own Luke Mathers, our executive producer here at Civic Media of the company, joining us at the bottom of the hour to tangent away. We'll see what's on Lukester's mind, what's grinding his gears, and all that great stuff. So there you go. Mr. Zommers, how are you doing today?
Doing well. It's, you know, you can really tell the overcast quality over the skies here. A lot of smoke.
I know for some people that have, like, breathing problems, I guess there's, like, an advisory from the wildfires out west, the smoke drifting. And I don't, maybe because I'm still, like, kind of clogged up with allergies. I mean, it's hazy. It's not a purple haze, but it's hazy. And but I know for some people in some parts of the state, still kind of an air quality advisory for those having breathing problems. So do you smell it in the air? I don't smell it.
Not really, but my nose is awful. So,
well, there you go. Looking forward to phone calls today. Always welcome to join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Going to look at the old Trumpster tax returns and see what the heck is up with the Chicago Trump Tower, how all that plays and things. Later on, by the way, when Luke joins us, we have a great little piece here that involves crickets. So looking forward to, and it has to do with Infrastructure Week, a real infrastructure week for the Biden administration, or an infrastructure quarter, maybe is a better way to put it, compared to the Trumpsters. Infrastructure Week time after, which became kind of a joke because it never really got off the ground. And how do Orange Lifesavers play into the Milwaukee Brewers' successful season thus far? They are in first place. Pat Murphy's team, the Brew Crew, and kind of a band of folks that a lot of people never heard of before because of injuries and trades. And it's just kind of this ragtag group, you know, aside from Christian Yelich, who's now back from the IR. But the Brewers getting it done, and we'll talk how Orange Lifesavers, great story there on Orange Lifesavers. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. First, though, I want to get to this story we kind of teased you about a little bit yesterday, and it has to do with the tax. Oh, well, let's do this first. Well, let's keep it current. In breaking news, the Trump trial continues on the election fraud, the fraudulent payment to a porn star. They tried to run it through the campaign, and that's what made it fraudulent, is they didn't report it right. And Trump signed the check. So that trial is continuing on, and we could go down a whole rabbit hole. I think the most important part is the other people showing up. Now, yesterday it was J.D. Vance, congressman from Ohio, and also Tommy Tuberville, the disgraceful senator from Florida. Oh, wait, it's Alabama. He just lives in Florida, as it turns out. True story. And now, today, the third person, or I guess however you want to count it, second person in line for the presidency, good old Speaker Mike Johnson, an elected official with significant constitutional power, second in line to the presidency, weighing in on active criminal cases as a jury hears evidence this morning. I've never seen this before. The Speaker of the House showing up to a criminal case to weigh in and to, again, politically genuflect to Donald Trump. Here is what Speaker Johnson said this morning outside the courthouse. Has nothing to do with the trial. He now is doing the bidding of Trump because the gag order is still in place. The judge this morning refused to lift the gag order on Trump. So Trump now is mandating that the Speaker of the House do his dirty work for him. Here is Mike Johnson attacking the judge's daughter.
And meanwhile, among the atrocities here, the judge's own daughter is making millions of dollars doing online fundraising for Democrats.
Attacking the judge's daughter.
Well, he didn't violate the gag order. I mean, it wasn't his fault.
And again, there is no law. There's nothing illegal here. A person who is a politician, a person who is a member of the court system, the legal system, you don't control what your family member does, right? So there's nothing barring a judge's daughter from having a separate private life. And if she chooses to work for a political party, that's up to her. She's an adult. Even if she wasn't an adult, she could still support whoever she wants, assuming she was, well, I was going to say voting age. She could vote for whoever she wants, but she could support whomever she wants. And now the Speaker of the House is attacking the judge's daughter for exercising her constitutional right to support a party and work for the Democratic Party. There is zero evidence that this judge is corrupt. There's zero evidence that he's colluding with his daughter to go after Trump. But this is their playbook, you understand? They take something that is factual. Okay, the judge's daughter works for apparently Democrats. And then they manifest that with lies and gross exaggerations into making it somehow wrong. It's sick. And then, of course, right-wing media amplifies it and puts conspiracy theories out there. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Perhaps it's not apt, but I draw a parallel on this, as I've drawn in other cases, to Henry II making a comment to say, "Will somebody rid me of this querulous priest or monk," or whatever the case may be, and his household knights went there and assassinated Thomas Becket. I mean, Trump has given his orders now. He's just posited, "Well, will somebody, do this little job for me? Go in my place and violate the gag order for me because I can't do it. I want you to do it for me." I mean, that's the cowardly place that these places are taken. I mean, there's, it is just. It's pretty disgusting that these men are willing to do this for a despicable man like Donald Trump, who's bragged about his adulteries in the past, and apparently now we hear the case where he said, "Well, if Melania dumps me, the women are lining up to marry me." And I mean, I just Donald Trump doesn't impress me at all. He's a doughy, soft-headed, soft in probably so many other ways, man.
That's a doughy. I like that.
I'll leave it there.
All right. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. Mark brings up a great point. Well, always a great point, right? But one of the here's what Liz Cheney, former congresswoman from Wyoming,
daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney. Certainly a conservative, Liz Cheney, who has disavowed Trump, says she will support Joe Biden. Liz Cheney slams Speaker Mike Johnson this morning for showing up to Trump's hush money trial in Manhattan. Liz Cheney says this, quote, "Have to admit, I'm surprised that Speaker Johnson wants to be in the, quote, I cheated on my wife with a porn star, unquote, club. I guess he's not that concerned with teaching morality to our young people after all," unquote. Great observation by former Congresswoman Liz Cheney to Mark's point. Here's a guy who likes to uphold his Christian values, or at least that's what he proclaims, and use that in order to attack women's health care by saying that it's completely against abortion, uses his morality, but then is hypocritical the fact that he shows up to Liz Cheney's point and supports a guy who has repeatedly cheated on his wife. It wasn't like one of these, hey, I made a mistake in life. We all make a mistake, and then I changed, and then I've been a better person since then. He is a repeat misogynistic serial cheater on his many wives.
He said he would date his daughter.
Yes, he did say that. It's just very hard to believe that this man, Trump, has any sort of morality at all. And so then Mike Johnson goes this morning and shows up and says, I'll support this guy because I'm being told to, because Trump can't violate the gag order. He's going to eventually land himself in jail. Pardon me. So Trump says, you have to do it for me. So Johnson shows up. And Liz Cheney is 100% right to point that out and to say, look, this is not a guy who is consistent in his Christian or moral values. So there you go. That's the big headline. We had that quote here a while back from E. Jean Carroll, right? The guy or the woman that he was found guilty of committing sexual assault against, i.e. raping. And E. Jean Carroll reminded us that Trump alone is powerless. He's feckless. It's the people around him that give him power. And it's so true. It's the people around Trump. It's the Mike Johnsons of the world. It's the Lindsey Grahams. It's the Ted Cruzes. It's the Ron Johnsons in Wisconsin. It's the Derek Van Ortons in Wisconsin that empower Trump to continue to, you know, just be a schmuck. So that's that. I mean, that's, I think, as much as we need to say about this court case, because I just don't want to go on and on about it. It's in the court. The courts are going to settle it, and we'll see what happens. Here's something. We're going to come back and talk about this in a minute. This weekend, well, last weekend, on Saturday, May 11th, Paul Keil of ProPublica and Russ Buettner of the New York Times teamed up to deliver a deep investigation into what Trump was talking about when he insisted that he must break tradition and refused to release his tax returns when he ran for office in 2016 and 2020, citing an audit. Remember this? It's kind of gone away now because, you know, now that we have a normal president again who follows the standard rules of releasing their tax returns, and there's nothing salacious there, as it turns out, this was a big deal. Trump, the only guy who said, no, I can't release my tax returns because, you know, I mean, I'm under an audit. I can't do it. Well, the New York Times had already reported that one of the reasons the Internal Revenue Service was auditing Trump's taxes was that beginning in 2010, he began to claim a $72.9 million tax refund because of huge losses from his failing casino. Come back and explain it for you. Take your phone calls. This is the Todd Allball Show for a Tuesday on Civic Media.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hubdy at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 20 past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, May 14th. Little the old Trump theme song there from his apprentice days on NBC. Made a big deal. But remember when he had a couple of these people that were winners of The Apprentice? Oh, you're going to be in charge of building Trump Tower in Chicago or wherever. Tony watching on YouTube says, if you were a business genius, quote unquote, like Trump, you too could bankrupt your company. Also off the text line, Terry in out in beautiful Cross Plains. Beautiful little burg, by the way. If you're in Dane County or get down here, check out the cool things in Cross Plains. Terry listening on WMDX out of Madison, but Terry is in Cross Plains. We were talking earlier about Liz Cheney's comments on Speaker Johnson showing up at Trump's trial today. Terry in Cross Plains says, Todd, Liz Cheney should not be surprised at Johnson at all. When he claimed he and his son scrutinized each other's porn, they have no morals.
Well, I think it was scrutinizing each other's porn habits, you know, trying to hold each other accountable and not watch it or view it or whatever.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I don't know any fathers that do that.
Yeah. It's like, still weird, no matter what it is.
It's still very weird. Thank you, Terry. We appreciate listening out there in beautiful Cross Plains. So, yes, back to the story on from ProPublica. And this comes from Heather Cox Richardson, by the way, great writer, great journalist. That the New York Times had already reported that one of the reasons that the IRS was auditing Trump's taxes was that beginning in 2010, he began to claim a $72.9 million tax return refund because of huge losses from his failing casinos. The reporters, Paul Kyle of ProPublica and Russ Buettner of the New York Times, followed the convoluted web of Trump's finances to find another issue with his tax history. They concluded that Trump's Chicago skyscraper, ever seen it? Down there and just off of Michigan Avenue? Can't miss it. Trump in great big huge letters. It's still on the building. That Trump's Chicago skyscraper, his last major construction project, was, quote, a vast money loser, unquote. Trump claimed losses as high as $651 million on it in 2008. But then he appears to have moved ownership of the building in 2010 from one entity to a new one. The authors describe it as, quote, like moving coins from one pocket to another, unquote, and use that move to claim another $168 million in losses, thereby double dipping. I mean, you understand why Trump might not want his tax returns shown to the public. So, by the way, I was just down in Chicago not too long ago. Walked by Trump Tower, still a lot of the ground and second level, what should be businesses or commercial spaces, completely vacant. Doesn't look like they ever had anything in them at all. So not surprising that these reporters found that Trump claimed losses on Trump's Chicago skyscraper at $651 million in 2008, but then transferred ownership to another entity within the Trump organization in 2010 and claimed another $168 million in losses and double dipped. Same property, same company, but because he technically transferred ownership, Trump bilked the government for another $160 million. Check that. He bilked you and me, the taxpayer, for another $168 million in losses. The experts, the authors consulted, said that if he loses the audit battle, Trump could owe the IRS more than $100 million. University of Baltimore law professor Walter Schakowsky, who is an expert on partnership taxation, told the authors, quote, "I think he ripped off the tax system," unquote. You can find the whole story at ProPublica.org. That's ProPublica.org, entitled "Trump IRS Audit Chicago Hotel Taxes." If you want to know, I mean, if you take away all of the salaciousness of Trump, if you take away all of his wacky remarks at these so-called rallies that he has, I mean, the things that gin people up, right? The things that the news media latches onto, the things that, you know, people go on about. If you take all of that away and you simply look at the facts like ProPublica and the New York Times has done, then you get down to the real essence of why he tries, Trump and the Trump group, try to distract us. Because most working people in the state of Wisconsin, I believe, if you ask them, would you vote for someone who bilked you, the taxpayer, out of $168 million, most people would say no. Most people would say, that's a crook. And we don't need at least any professional crooks, any more of them, in politics. These are the things that Donald Trump and the Trump campaign don't want you to hear. They don't want to hear in a calm voice, without bells and whistles, without vitriol, without entertainment politics, just giving you the truth. And this is why we need great journalists like at ProPublica and at least some of them at the New York Times who are still doing great investigative journalism. But do you hear this on the network news? Do you see this on the morning shows? Do you see this on certainly not Fox News, even CNN? I haven't seen this on MSNBC. Because it doesn't involve porn stars. It doesn't involve outrageous language. It's not newsworthy sexy. In other words, it's not clickbait. And you have to actually dig down through this like these reporters have. And then you get to the facts, the truth. This expert on partnership taxation says, I think he ripped off the tax system. Who is the tax system? It's you and me. People paying our taxes to keep the government running. And here we have evidence now that Donald Trump in Chicago, right down the road here, the interstate, claimed a double dipped on his losses. $651 million in 2008, and then changed the ownership of the Trump Tower in Chicago to another entity within the Trump organization. And Trump claimed another $168 million in losses, thereby double dipping.
Imagine where we could be as a country if people like Donald Trump didn't do this with their businesses. We'd have so much more revenue and there'd be so much less to complain about in the deficit.
We'd have more money to do infrastructure, perhaps. We'd have more money to put into healthcare. Have more money to help the country as a whole. But instead we have a guy in Trump who is bilking you and me, the taxpayer, the working people of Wisconsin and America, for $168 million.
That we know of.
Speaking of a working person, Luke Mathers, the one and only, will be in next. Little Tuesday Tangents with Luke story. Don't want to miss it. We'll find out what's grinding his gears. Stay tuned now. A news update, weather, and a great update on agriculture by our friends at the Midwest Farm Report and Pam Yonke. Stay tuned.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you midday on a Tuesday. Today, the state Senate is going to begin the effort to override 36 of the governor's vetoes. Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Joan Balwig says one of the bills her colleagues are targeting would set a new goal for the state's gray wolf population.
Population estimate as of 2020 is 1,034, and that's been building since 2000, when we were underneath that 350, and now, of course, we're way above that. We have folks that have to go to the state to get the deprivation payments, not only on their livestock, but homeowners and loss of pets and so on. So this is one of the things we're asking the DNR to do, set a population goal. We're not setting it. We're just saying we need something to be a little more reasonable.
Senator Joan Balwig along with us. She chairs the Committee on Agriculture and Tourism. Some of the other bills that her colleagues are looking to bring back would spend $125 million fighting PFAS pollution and spend $15 million in response to hospital closures in rural western Wisconsin. Any override would also need to be approved in the Assembly. We'll take a look at our midday commodity markets next.
Sorting out fact from fiction. That's exactly where Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars are being invested this growing season. Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean specialist, says farmers are being approached with so many different products these days, it's important they get clear, correct information.
Because farmers are really getting bombarded with, you know, carbon farming, be able to improve soil health. But what does this really mean? It's kind of a big nebula. So we're really trying to say these indices are ones that farmers can use and rely on, and they have a relationship with soybean yield. And we've identified some of those. But the cool thing is now we're wondering what management strategies help alter or change those. So can we actually improve our soil health metrics? And one thing that we found in this initial data set is that we've seen actually long-term, and by long-term, I mean a minimum of 5 years of cover cropping, actually improve some of our soil health metrics. So that's important and exciting for farmers.
Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean researcher, taking Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars to the field. Follow the story at wisoybean.org.
Grain markets are pulling back midday on a Tuesday. From Chicago, December new crop corn is down a penny and a half at 491.5. November new crop soybeans are down 6.5 cents at 1205.75. And July new crop wheat is trading down 17.25 cents at 669.75. Dairy markets are continuing their climb. The June Class 3 milk contract is trading up 12 cents at 21.38 a hundredweight. The July contract is up 16 cents at 20.37 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny, bright, and beautiful today with breezy winds out of the northeast, keeping our highs to the mid-60s. As we stay clear tonight, we crash cold with areas of frost possible as lows fall to the mid-30s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday on Up North News Radio, from electric school buses to solar panels, how we're educating our children while being better to the environment.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Pursuing truth.
wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along on a Tuesday, the May 14th, 2020. It's now 12:34. Yes, Todd. I learned how to tell time in kindergarten or whatever it was. 12:34. Normally, as we said, Lukester would join us on a Tuesday, but here's the deal. As executive producer of Civic Media, there is no off on the genius switch, you understand? And he's overseeing an entire statewide network or helping to oversee. And he got tied up in a couple of meetings just to keep us on the air. And we appreciate that. So we said, well, we'll give him a pass because, you know, he's a working man.
We'll get him another day.
So sadly, no Luke this week. But we've got Zomers here, and we've got you here, the listening audience, and we're still going to do a couple of these things because I think this is fantastic. So here you go. Here's a great story today. And I think, again, wait a minute. I was going to lead with this, and I got kind of thrown off. Look what I have in my hot little hands, Mr. Zomers. Look, it arrived yesterday. Last night, I went to my package room. Always hoping to find a good package in the package room. And I went down there, and there was indeed a package from our friend and colleague, the fabulous, the great Jane Matinere. Exactly. Now, Jane and I are going on a little tour of our own here next month around Wisconsin, a couple, three stops, taking both shows on the road. And she heard, she was listening in during our show at Governor Nelson State Park on Earth Day. And I mentioned that I have this right here is my reusable thermos thing for my coffee that I use almost every day. And one of my goals for this year for Earth Day was to stop or at least greatly diminish my use of plastic water bottles like you buy at convenience stores or whatever.
It's just a very achievable goal.
A very achievable goal. And Jane, God bless her heart, took pity on me and she said, I got to help this boy out. And she bought me a brand new, beautiful Yeti insulated thermos mug for my water. Look at this.
Plus, it's red, so it matches your other one.
It matches.
It's still Badger colors.
I mean, the Yeti Rambler 20-ounce stackable cup.
I think you'll be happy with it. I know my dad has a Yeti thermos. It's an enormous one, but he loves it and he uses it every day.
Yeah. So huge shout out to Jane Matinere. As they say, she's a mensch. Great friend. Just a great person you want to have on your team. And I mean, get yourself a colleague like Jane Matinere who takes pity on you and buys you a water thermal mug. So thank you, Jane. Thank you for making my life better. Thank you for being spectacular, but a great friend, a great colleague. And you can listen to Jane every morning from 10 until noon, Matinere on Air with Greg Bach, every morning, 10 until noon, right before our show. So thank you, Jane. We appreciate that.
Maybe you'll have to send her a fruit plate in return. I know she's been trying for a long time to get fruit plates.
Well, maybe we're going to spend some time together next month. So I'll find out what I can do for her. Just to help her out and pay her back a little bit. So, but thank you, Jane. All right. Anyway, here now, and we hear a lot about, and we spend time, I'm guilty of it as well, talking about all the goofy things that the Trumpster does. I don't think that I personally spend enough time talking about all the great things that Joe Biden has done. Because, again, Biden doesn't go out and hold pressers and attack people every day. He's not on the Twitter attacking people every day. He doesn't make himself into clickbait. In other words, oh, I can't wait to see what Biden said today. Who did he attack? We were used to, after 4 years, well, five if you count the campaign, 5 years of Trump being in the news cycle all the time because he said something salacious, bombastic, and the news media knew if they cover that, people would watch. Even though people say they don't like politicians like that, it's the old accident on the interstate thing, right? Like, oh, accidents are terrible, terrible. And then you get up to the end and you're going along the interstate and you pass an accident that was on the other side of the interstate going the other. There is no accident at all on your side. But people have to slow down and gawk, you know, turn their necks. Oh, what happened? Did somebody get killed? How bad is it? And so that slows down the entire internet. It's the same way in the media. is that people say, we don't like stories that, you know, about all this stuff. But yet they click on it. They watch. They listen. So Joe Biden isn't necessarily politically sexy. He just gets it done. So here now, the White House today announced that it has awarded, get this, nearly $454 billion with a B. $454 billion with a B in funding from the bipartisan infrastructure law. Remember, it was bipartisan, including more than 56,000 projects across more than 4,500 communities across the nation, including the Blatnik Bridge up in Superior connecting Duluth, $1 billion there. We were there for that. And also just last week down at Racine and Kenosha with the Foxconn area, revitalizing that after the Trump-Walker failure. These projects of Biden included fixing more than 165,000 miles of roads. Let me say that again. The bipartisan infrastructure law that President Biden fostered and signed has now thus far fixed more than 165,000 miles of roads and more than 9,400 bridges and improving more than 450 ports of call and 300 airport terminals. The bipartisan infrastructure law has also funded more than 1,400 drinking water and wastewater projects and projects to replace up to 1.7 million toxic lead pipes, places like Milwaukee, as well as more than 8,000 low and zero emission buses coming to Madison. It has funded 95 previously unfunded Superfund projects to clean up contaminated sites. It has improved the electrical grid and funded 12,000 miles of high-speed internet infrastructure, including central Wisconsin around Reedsburg, Baraboo, and the Dells, and exposed internet junk fees. To summarize, Joe Biden is getting her done. Let's take a moment to compare and contrast what Trump has done lately, in his entire 4 years. Let's just take a listen to Trump's achievements on infrastructure for 4 years. Still waiting. Oh, it's just crickets. Because as it turns out, Trump announced an infrastructure week, so it often became a joke. And Trump never got anything done. Crickets.
Not a single thing.
For 4 years on infrastructure. Crickets.
He just cranked up the deficit.
Exactly.
Of the federal deficit.
Right. So, but see, again, when you run through these numbers, people start to yawn, right? Oh, it's just numbers. That's boring. Well, ask people in Superior, Wisconsin, if replacing the Blatnik Bridge is boring. It's going to be great union-paying jobs up in the Superior area, northern Wisconsin. Fostering tourism, fostering commerce, connecting major hubs of Superior and Duluth. Ask people in southeast Wisconsin if cleaning up and redoing this Foxconn boondoggle of walkers, if that's going to be important. Ask people in inner city Milwaukee who are getting lead pipes replaced if that's just boring. Ask people in Madison who don't have to stand there and have gas-powered buses go by them if that's boring. When you look at the numbers, yes, I get it. That's not, quote-unquote, politically sexy. But you have to look at the numbers because when people say, when the Trump folks and MAGA folks say things like Sleepy Joe and, oh, he's incompetent and he's slow and he's not getting anything done, this is what we have to say. Wait a minute. Time out. For a guy who's sleepy and incompetent, he's getting a lot of stuff done. And if I have one criticism of the Biden team, it's that they're not doing enough to promote these wins. Now, being in Racine last week was great. Being in Duluth is great. Some of these ads coming out are great. But they got to do more. They have to let people know of the great things that Joe Biden is doing. By the way, if you want to see how a campaign should be run, check out the Tammy Baldwin campaign. She continues to knock it out of the park with her TV ads. They're not about her. She's telling stories of constituents and constituencies that she's helped. They're fantastic. I think she's on her way to a record re-election. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul, thanks for calling in. Wisco, what say you?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for bringing this all up. It's totally awesome. And you're right, Biden should talk about this more. What he's accomplished, you're fixing up basically your house. You can't – spending money on infrastructure puts people to work. They spend money. It actually helps the deficit, and you keep your everything fixed up. It's, actually it's helping out Walker, too, because Walker let all roads go to pot. But anyway, hey, thanks for bringing this up. And Tammy Baldwin is a spectacular politician. She's just great at what she does.
Have you seen these TV ads where she's telling people's stories? I mean, they're powerful ads.
That's correct. I wish the Democrats would watch more of what she does, but they probably won't. Anyway, thanks for bringing all this up, Todd. Yep,
thank you.
It's great to have all these great jobs. Thanks.
Yep, thank you. Thanks, Wisco. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. The story has to be, and this is the beautiful thing about Biden's accomplishments. It has the benefit of being true. You don't even have to make anything up. You don't have to exaggerate. You can just tell the actual truth of all the communities and people that this by and again, thanks to Joe Biden's, here's an example of someone who you want to have experience, Joe Biden, because it was because of his long experience in Washington that he was able to bring some Republicans onto this and vote for it. And get it through Congress. So it is a bipartisan infrastructure law. He put exactly the right person, Pete Buttigieg, who had been mayor out in Indiana, and put him as Secretary of Transportation and fostered this through. It's a huge win. And Wisco's right. It's going to have all kinds of great paying jobs along the way as well. Great union jobs in most cases as well. So there you go. Some good news compared to the crickets of the old Trumpster time. Well, how do you feel, Mr. Somers, about orange lifesavers? First of all, are you a lifesaver fan? And number two, do you eat the orange lifesavers?
All right, so I do like lifesavers. I know lifesaver gummies are a totally different thing, but I remember eating those as a kid, and those were really good. Normal lifesavers, I'm not really that much of a candy person. I don't remember the last time I've had an orange one.
All right.
That doesn't. I don't remember what it tastes like, to be perfectly honest.
That's fair. And that fits beautifully in with this next story we're going to talk about, speaking of the Brewers. Because there's a great article yesterday, I believe it was, by Kurt Hogg in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Headline, "The Orange Lifesavers of Major League Baseball. How a Pat Murphy theory on candy is central to the Brewers' winning ways." Orange Lifesavers, along with Major League Baseball, started off, says, inside the dining room of the home clubhouse at American Family Field is a new snack item added recently to the litany of options for players to crunch and munch before a game. Lifesavers. Most players bypass the colorful confectionery for a different option, potentially either a sign of where the hard, round, fruity treat has fallen in the stratosphere of preferred sweets. We'll finish the story on Orange Lifesavers. Explain how it relates to the Brewers and their winning ways as we come back. It's the All Ball Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Hayward Muskie Festival, presented by Adventure RV and Power Sports of Hayward, has been selected as a finalist for the Cenex Hometown Throwdown Competition. Show your hometown pride and help Muskie Fest win the $100,000 grand prize by voting online at CenexHometownThrowdown.com. The Hayward Muskie Festival is hosted by the Hayward Area Chamber of Commerce. Join them at this year's fest, June 21st through 23rd, for a summer dose of Hayward fun. Remember to vote by May 15th at CenexHometownThrowdown.com.
Progressive presents 10 things on a plumber's to-do list that are harder than getting a small business insurance quote. Waking up for 5 a.m. plumbing disasters, finding out why water is pouring from the ceiling, replacing a pipe in a home from the 1800s, then dealing with invoices or your awkward apprentice or that really weird smell, and then there's breathing and eating and, of course, clogs. But the easiest thing on any small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you could save on the business insurance that's right for you. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Nicely done, Mr. Sommers. The Brewers want candy, apparently. Or at least the manager, Pat Murphy, does. Great story by Kurt Hogg of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday. Headline, The Orange Lifesavers of Major League Baseball. How a Pat Murphy theory on candy is central to the Brewers' winning ways. Nicely done by the headline there. Central division of the National League as well, see? Double entendre.
And it's a circular candy with no center.
Yes, it is. So anyway, starting the story off here, there's a new candy in the clubhouse at American Family Field, these lifesavers. Starting pitcher Colin Ray was asked whether he had a lifesaver for the last time. He said, I don't know, probably third grade. I grab them now for my kids. The candy fly is a little bit under the radar in the Brewers cafeteria, but perhaps that's fitting. So do the players who bypass it, even if they themselves are, as Pat Murphy would say, orange lifesavers? So here's the deal. New manager, and I love this guy, by the way, after Craig Counsell defected and went to the enemy down in Chicago, the Cubs, Pat Murphy, who had long kind of been thought of by people on the inside as Craig Counsell's baseball brain, Pat Murphy takes over this year. He's a little salty, and I love everything about it. So manager Pat Murphy has a long-held theory about baseball players. So as head coach at Arizona State in college, where he won 629 games and four times made the College World Series, he recruited a bit differently, choosing to go after the overlooked players, whose talent was modest, but work ethic was indefatigable. Not only that, it was never-ending, worked hard. Anyway, so he went after these kind of kids that flew under the radar when he recruited for college instead of the stars. I love that. According to the article, he once got fed up with his staff for only bringing elite athletes to the table in recruiting meetings and briskly opined, quote, can't we find some red-headed short-armed lefty, unquote. See, I like that. Looking at some red-headed short-armed lefty.
Kind of sounds like an old SNL punchline or something.
Right. So the next day, a photo of a red-headed, short-armed lefty at a junior college 2 hours north was on his desk. The kid's name was Cole Calhoun, and he immediately and ultimately helped lead the Sun Devils to the College World Series and played 12 years in the major leagues. Well, that was the mold of player under-recruited and undervalued who often thrived under Murphy. Dustin Pedroia, Willie Bloomquist, Jason, I believe it's Knips, and Andre Ether were that way too. And Murphy had a name for those types of players. Orange lifesavers. Murphy said, What's the first thing you do when you get a pack of Lifesavers? You open it up and you take out the red ones. Everybody likes the red ones. Nobody wants the orange. I always had a theory that I liked the orange Lifesavers. So when you recruit the red Lifesaver, they end up disappointing you a lot of times. The orange Lifesavers for me were the ones that were valuable because everyone is going after the red ones. I want the orange, which is for me the second best Lifesaver, unquote. So it's through this lens that Murphy views much of the game of baseball.
You know, I do a similar thing with card games a lot, actually, where in games where you draft cards, like you pass around cards and pick, sometimes you go for what's second best if you know everybody else is going to clamor over and fight over something, just like with this. Everybody's going to fight over these players. They're going to go all around in free agency. But if you pick what's second best, you might just end up with something more committed and more complete.
I think it's great. And again, it demonstrates why I love this guy so much. Look, Craig, I'm not going to take anything away from Craig Counsell. He did a great job with the Brewers, and I loved everything he did. I was certainly disappointed. I know he did it for personal reasons, and he wanted a new challenge, and that's fine. But I got to say, a guy like Pat Murphy is exactly the kind of guy I love as a coach or a manager. Article goes on in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is Bloomquist saying that he wants the guys that have to grind, that are going to work hard, they're going to listen. The B-plus talent guys, in his words. He demands the best out of his guys. He puts guys in challenging situations and demands they hold themselves to a higher standard. I think that's great. And I think oftentimes that when you have a team made up of, in Murphy's words, orange Lifesaver guys, they gel better as a team because you have less ego. You have less people that want to be celebrities. And people that listen to the show know that, look, I'm in college. I get it. I'm fine with players being paid to a certain degree. But I think there has to be some sort of control over these NIL deals. There was just a story yesterday, the day before yesterday, some kid, State of Washington, University of Washington, is going to get paid $2 million in 1 year in NIL money to play baseball or to like play basketball out there. $2 million. Now, you put a kid like that on a college basketball team, there's going to be egos, in my opinion. I'd much rather have a team of, in Murphy's words, orange Lifesavers. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I think this is exactly the type of players that we need. And this is why I think the Brewers are going to continue to do well. They're in first place right now, by the way. They're doing great. We'll see. And by the way, the Brewers play right here on Civic Media select stations. As we say, we hope one of your stations are selected. I can tell you who the stations are. It's WRCE in Richland Center and also WISS Oshkosh Air Support, where you can catch the Milwaukee Brewers, and also up in Lake Air Radio up in Amory as well. Can catch the Brewers all season long, so make sure you do that and enjoy the Milwaukee Brewers. Again, a reminder, we cannot stream them on the Civic Media app simply because of Major League Baseball, but always a great opportunity to listen if you are in those select stations. And Lukester will be back next Tuesday to talk some tangents and what's grinding his gears. And if we're really good, he'll open up his beautiful leather-bound satchel and allow us to give away some more of those great Milwaukee Brewer baseball tickets coming up here soon. So be listening to this show and others as we continue to give you opportunities to win Major League Baseball tickets to the Brewers at AmFam Field, those great seats down there. We're going to come back and talk about voting. What's going on in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court as the justices once again talk about overturning a case involving ballot drop boxes. Come back, take your calls, talk about it much more. It's the Tyler Ball Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Earl Ingram.
Wednesday at 9, I'll be joined by Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You won't want to miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.